Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. Today we are looking at a chapter that has been really, really important to me and actually sets the tone for Christ Fellowship. It's going to be Isaiah 55. And as you probably know, we value the voice of God and we want to see people hear Him, know Him. And Isaiah 55 really sets the tone for why we want to listen to God, why we want to lean in, and why we want to return to God. Because when we do, we get Him, and with Him comes compassion and pardon and forgiveness and grace and mercy and love. And so, man, grab your Bible. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and let's dig into what God has for us today. Let me ask you this question. How many of you were at one point blind, but now you see the beauty of Christ? Anybody else in there? Can we get an amen to that, right? That's the story of the beautiful part of the cross. And I love that we're a community that we don't just try to skip over the cross. We actually recognize the power of Christ and Christ crucified. Let me just read you the scripture today. This is resonated as we sing in this song. It's from Romans 5. It says, "For while we were still weak," this we could stop there. I don't know if you've ever felt weak, man. Maybe today you're feeling weak. If that's you, listen to this. "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Not for the religious, not for those that thought they get it all right, not for the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic, the Protestant, the non-denomination, not that. He said, for who? For the ungodly, Christ died. "For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or we can make it real personal. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. I just want to take a moment. And just in the room today, individually but collectively, can we just meditate on that truth for a second? While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. At the right time, God sent Christ to die for the ungodly. We know this is love, that He would lay down His life. So can we just take a moment, just revel in this truth today. That God is for you. God is for humanity. That He demonstrated He's so for us that He would choose to lay down His life so that we can live. So why don't you just personally just begin to just tell the Lord thank you for the way when you were blinded, that the light, the one who is the light of the world, came in and revealed who He is and His beauty and the truth of who you really are, that you're not defined by your sin. You're defined by the value He placed on the cross on your life. Just thank Him for His willingness to die for us, to show us His love, to show us that He's always been for us, that He's never gonna change His mind. Just tell Him in your own words, "Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you said it's finished. It really is finished." So Lord, we're a people that revel. We celebrate the cross and the love that you poured out. And we're so grateful that that cross looked like the dead end, but it was the highway to life. So we thank you for offering us life through your Son, Christ. We say we honor you, Father, for loving the world so much that you sent Christ. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you that you laid down your life so that we could find it. And we honor you, Holy Spirit, the one who comes to bring illumination and awareness to our hearts of who Christ really is. Lead us into truth today. We honor you. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and find a seat. Amen. Christ and Christ crucified. Let's go. Beautiful truth. I know we got some visitors here, so I want to welcome you. My name is Derek. We try really hard to be a simple church. We love the presence of God. We're learning how to honor His presence, how to be a people of His presence, and then to go into the world recognizing that God is already there and we're partnering with what He's already doing. How many of you know Jesus is already everywhere you're going? Amen, right? And so we as a people, we're learning what's it mean to participate with Jesus to see his kingdom established on the earth as it is in heaven. So last week we shared that we are having a gathering today. So men, man, there seems to be like a bubbling up, kind of some wind. We feel like the Spirit may be breathing on something with the men of our community. There seems to be a lot of energy, a lot of interest for men to get connected deeper, right? And so today, after this gathering, we're gonna be gathered, I think in the old gym 101 at the end here. I think we got a little slot here. Yeah, there you go. Because we recognize that men really flourish in fellowship, in community. And most of us men, we find ourselves on an island, we put our head down, we've been working hard, we've been creating a business, we've been, you know, putting in the hours, whatever that is, and we look up and we're like, man, I'm kind of feel like I'm all alone. And so we don't believe that's how God designed it, and we believe you got to be intentional to break that trend. And so I want to encourage you, take a step today right here. We're going to grab lunch at 1 o'clock here today. We're going to be able to connect with some different men, and I believe some really powerful things are going to come out of that. And so men, today, 1 o'clock, if you haven't registered, I'll give you like the green light. Go ahead and grab your phone, register right now if you want to. But we're gonna gather at 1 o'clock and we're gonna see what God's doing. Like, I'm really, really interested and excited to see what God is up to. And we're gonna keep taking steps of faith to see what God's got for our men in the church. So I want you to do something. I want you to grab your Bible and I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. We're just gonna set up shop in Isaiah 55, a little different approach today than I typically would have, but I felt impressed by the Lord to just sit in this passage. I had a call with a gentleman who lives in Iowa last week, and we had a great call, good conversation, and then at the end, he's like, hey, can I pray for you? And he prayed Isaiah 55 over me and over our church. And Isaiah 55 is a really personal and meaningful passage for me, but it really also sets the tone for a lot of what we do as a community, as Christ Fellowship. And so this passage is really instrumental in how we structure the church and what we value. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna read a few verses, and then I'm gonna break down and give you a little commentary on it, and then read some more. We're just gonna work our way through the entire chapter. So if you have a Bible, obviously grab that, Isaiah 55, or a phone, you got the Bible app, you can join me there. It's also gonna be on the screen. Isaiah 55, this is the Lord communicating through the prophet Isaiah. So I'm gonna read the first three verses. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. The first few verses of this chapter really set up this 55th chapter of Isaiah. And what we see from the very beginning, this chapter is all around an invitation. Come, join me, come to me, come visit me. And really, if you think about it, it's Jesus was saying the same thing. He said, come to me. Are you worn out? Are you tired? Are you just beat down by religion? Come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll teach you my ways, right? So kind of same thing. Jesus is speaking into this right here from Isaiah 55, but it says, come to me. And it's interesting. He says, come to me and I want you to eat and drink and I want you to buy things, but you don't have any money. Isn't that interesting? Like, we should ask questions like, okay, the scripture says, you don't have any money, but go ahead and come to me and buy things even though you don't have money. Isn't that confusing? That's only confusing if you've never had teenagers. Right? So like, I got a 17-year-old, he's got this little plastic thing. It says his name on it, but guess whose money it is? So guess what he does? He goes, I send him to go, you know, get gas. Whew, drives a little pickup truck. Wow, it costs a lot nowadays. He goes and gets gas and he comes, even though he has no money, he's a broke teenager, but guess what? Dad's got it. Ooh, some of you need to hear that. He says, come to me. You don't have any money. He says, but you know what? The Father's got you, come to me. Eat, drink, rich food, wine, get it all. Buy without money. You know why? Because I've got it covered. And so he's made provision for the invitation. He's already set the table. Come to me. And he says, come to me, come to me. And what we see from the very beginning is that God is always inviting us to come to him to receive. Like this is the entirety of the scripture is pointing to this God that says, come to me. And don't come to me to like have to do something for me. Come to me, and when you come to me, I want to give you things. I want to give you myself. And so we see this passage is really this beautiful picture of the gospel. Like sometimes we think the gospel is just what Jesus came to proclaim, but the good news that God is for us and not against us is all woven throughout the Old and the New Testament. Jesus came to clearly give it, but right here, this is a beautiful, beautiful gospel presentation buried in Isaiah 55. So this invitation, come to me. And what I love about this invitation is that it's more generous than we could ever fathom. And I mean that in two ways. The invitation is more long-suffering than we could ever think about. How many of you have ever experienced the patience of God? Yeah, come on, all right? The God who says, come to me, is extremely patient. The God who says, come to me, secondly, is extremely persistent. That's why we as a people have framed him as the hound of heaven. He continues to just keep coming after me. I try to get rid of him. No, he's right there, right? And so this invitation, come to me, is extremely, extremely generous in how willing God is to say, I'll wait for you. The invitation is open. I don't know about you, but if I give an invitation to somebody and somebody rejects me, I'm like, nope, you ain't invited back to my next party. But God's like, no. You reject me, and guess what? I'm still here, and I'm saying, here it is. Come to me, Derek. You ran your own play. Come to me. Let's run my play. Come to me. He's so generous in his invitation. And what we see in this invitation is how critical hearing is. You see, hearing is essential to experience an abundant life. If we look at the second part of verse 2, he says, listen diligently to me. Eat what is good, delight yourself in food. And then verse 3, it says, incline your ear to me and come to me, hear that your soul may live. Hear, I want you to hear my voice, recognize my presence, hear me, come to me. And when you do, when you hear my words, when you come into agreement with my words, the fruit of that is that you will find life. How many of you want more abundant life in your life, right? I want more in every area. And he says the key to finding abundant life is this simple thing, come to me and turn your ear towards me. And I love how Jesus, he comes on the scene as the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. And in John 10, what does Jesus say? He says some really cool things about listening. This is what Jesus says, John 10, verse 3 and 4. He says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. There it is. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. The sheep follow him. Because a pastor tells them to. No. The sheep follow his because that's what I'm supposed to do in church. No. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his what? His voice. A little bit later in verse 10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We usually stop there, but it says, I came. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And how does life and abundant come? It comes from following him. How do we follow him? By listening to his what? Voice. You're catching on. You're listening to my voice. That's good. Good, right? And so we as a church, we put high, high value on the voice of God. We believe it's one of the graces that God has given us, the lane that he's called us to, is to help people in our community, beyond our community, to help people discern and recognize and come into agreement with the voice of God. We believe God speaks today. He speaks through the scriptures. Oh my goodness. While we're teaching this today, God loves to speak through the word that he's already given us. How many of you have ever heard God or sensed God speaking through one of your friends that gave you some counsel? Anybody else besides me? How many of you have ever prayed and had kind of an unction that God was leading you to go call somebody? Anybody besides me? Can I just get some help here today? Yeah. So we believe God speaks in all kinds of ways. Even Paul says that God speaks through nature. I'm trying to figure out what he was teaching me yesterday. We didn't have electricity, so God, we had a rough night's sleep. What are you trying to teach me, right? Like, but he speaks through all types of things, and so we as a community, we believe a core part of following Jesus is learning to follow his voice, to hear his voice. And one of the practical ways that we help people do that is through our Equip series that we have. And one of the classes that we get a ton of feedback on, we've had hundreds and hundreds of people go through it, is a class that has a really profound title that's called Hearing God. How many of you have been through Hearing God? Just raise your hand. Look at this. Look around there. Oh, I love it. And so Hearing God is I don't know how many weeks it is now, 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not sure how it is, but it's literally we're coming alongside of people and helping them to recognize that God has been speaking to them all along. We're just helping them recognize the voice that's been there from the very beginning. And we've had so many people say, oh my goodness, like I had such a religious view of God and it had to be this and that, or like, man, there's so much life. And so we love to see like the light bulb go off and people's relationship with God go from here to, let's say, deeper intimacy where I begin to hear the voice of God, recognize the voice of God. And so on August 22nd, if you're like, man, I haven't taken that, I would like to know more information. August 22nd, we've got our next Hearing God class. You can sign up and register online, but I would encourage you to be there because hearing God is central to life. When you came to salvation, I'm gonna guess, you sensed, maybe you didn't use the word, you heard the Lord say, I am for you and I died for you, right? Because hearing is essential to life. He says, if you want life, turn your ear to me and listen, and when you do, you will live. Let's skip down to verse 4 here. It says, behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the people. He's talking about David, which he referenced in verse 3. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Man, there's so much truth in there, honestly. So he's framing this up. When I was in Africa in 2012, the Lord, the first time in my life, highlighted this passage, and it was specifically around David. And as I'm reading the scriptures, as I'm talking to the Lord, he was leading me to better understand why was David called a man after God's own heart? Why did David have so much success in his leadership? Even though David had wild failure, how was he still marked and identified as a man after God's own heart? And so I began to learn that, and I began to search out what was David, like what were some of the keys to the kingdom that David had? And so as I looked at that, even as we, as a church structure and what we prioritize, a lot of it, honestly, is around David's leadership. It's structured a lot from that. So the Lord used this to really cultivate my appreciation for David as a leader and how to lead a community. How do you lead a whole nation? What's that look like? And then verse 6, though, is really what stood out to me. Verse 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And here's the question I have for you today. When is the Lord not near? When is the Lord not near? He says, call upon him and seek him while he is near. When is the Lord not near? Well, let me just tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm never gonna leave you nor forsake you. So you know what that means? That God is always near. Do you know what that means for us? That means we're always invited to call upon the Lord because he is near all the time. Call upon the Lord, he is near. I don't see him, I don't feel him. Trust Jesus, he said I'm near. Call upon the Lord, seek him and he will be found. It says right here, do it while he's near. We know he's near. But then it goes in verse 7, and this is really, I really enjoyed this week. It says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So ways and thoughts, ways and mindsets. And so it's this invitation, hey, there's some things that you are doing that are not aligned with God. He says, stop doing those, forsake those things. How many know there's things on the earth that are not aligned with God? Can we just say amen to that? We're all awake that, right? He says, forsake those ways, but then he also says, you also have some mindsets, some beliefs, some thoughts that are not aligned with God, and I want you to do the same with that. I want you to forsake those thoughts. So I would ask you this morning to take a moment to think about, man, is there anything that the Lord is inviting you to stop doing or to stop thinking that's not leading you to life? Is there anything, the actions that you're taking that you know are not leading you to life and are not leading you to your purpose and in your identity? Or are there thoughts that you're believing that's really hindering you, keeping you from being all that God's called you to be, doing some of the things you know he's called you to do? And the invitation from Isaiah, which is the same thing Jesus said, is forsake those things. Stop those things. And the word that we would use today, maybe in the church world, is the word repent. That means change your mind, and with a mind change, when we actually change what we believe, outflow will be my actions are changed. And so what does it say? What does it say in the scriptures that God's what leads us to repentance? His what? Kindness, kindness or goodness? His kindness. His kindness leads us to repentance. So we see here, he says, forsake your ways that are not of the Lord. Forsake the thoughts that you have that are not of the Lord. And what's it say here? It says, and return to the Lord. Isn't that incredible? He says, stop doing that thing. Stop thinking that thing. Instead, turn to the Lord. And that's scary for some of us that were raised in church, because we think about God, like if I turn for the thing I'm doing, and I know I've been in that for, you know, 10 years, 5 years, a month, I know what I'm doing. Oh, if I turn from that and came to the Lord, then the Lord would like smite me, or he would give me the finger. Well, one of the finger. I don't know what he would do, but like, like we really think this about God. And so when we have these false beliefs about God, guess what it does? You know what's better? Let me just stay in the way that I know is leading to death. I'm just gonna stay here, and I'm gonna keep living the way I'm living in my marriage. I'm gonna keep doing the things that I'm doing, even though it's leading to death. But because I'm scared to go to God, I'm saying this is probably better, and I want you to hear me. That is a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. He doesn't give us the finger, any of the fingers. He doesn't make a list and go through, Derek, man, naughty, 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 cool for you today. We have some weird views of God. He says, forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts, do not lead a life. And he says, return to the Lord. Listen to what he says. This is why we return to the Lord. I just can't even get this. I wish I could just literally grab this and shove it into your heart and your brain right now. This is what I'm trying to do. Like, have that picture, boom, right? That's what I'm trying to do. He says, let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. That's not what I expected. Old Testament? Oh. That he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will maybe forgive me? Forgive some of it? No. It says that he will abundantly pardon. Stop doing what you're doing that you know is leading to death. Stop, recognize the thoughts that are leading you to death, leading you from being all you're called to be, and instead return to the Lord, because when you do that, no matter what was over here, when you return to the Lord, when you come to him, what is there is incredible compassion, which means that a willingness to suffer alongside. Isn't that incredible that God's willing to suffer alongside of you? Oh man, that's deep. It also means mercy and love. And he says, come to me, and when you do, I'm not gonna chastise all the things you've done. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you how gracious and good and merciful and faithful I am. I'm gonna abundantly pardon. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. All that you think that separates you from me. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news for all of us? And in this passage, he's saying, come to me, and I will show you compassion. I will show you forgiveness. Now remember, he just referenced, forsake your ways and your thoughts that are not of God. But look what happens in verse 8, and I love this. The Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Somebody say amen to that. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, most of the time you hear this taught in church is that God's thoughts are higher, his ways are higher. And we could all say, yes, of course they are. But most places that would be like, and you have no hope.
You are what you are. God's better. You're trash. Good luck. But that's not the context of this. This entire chapter is come to me because I want to be generous to you. And so he says, forsake your ways, Derek, forsake the things that you're doing that you're not, that aren't leading to me. Forsake the thoughts that are hindering you. Come to me. You're going to get compassion. You're going to get mercy. You're going to be pardoned. And then not only that is I actually want to give you my thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. I want to give you my ways that are higher than your ways. He's not holding back. He's actually saying, come to me because I want to give you to him. And sometimes we think about these things and we're like, this must pertain to, you know, churchy things or things of faith. And it does. Let me tell you, God's ways of teaching us how to connect with him are way higher than you and I could ever think about. It is. The way he wants us to do community and church, so much better. But I believe that God has way more thoughts and ways than just when it comes to our church. Amen? Like, we talk about this a lot. Like, God has all the wisdom, all the insight. He's very, very strategic. He's got plans, and he doesn't have them to hold them back. He says, I've hidden them for you to find. And so this whole thing has come to me because I want you to know. And so I've shared this before, but I just want to make sure we get it. Like, so if you're an engineer in the room, listen, God has higher ways of doing engineering than you've learned in school. Now, I know you went to Tennessee, but I'm telling you, like, God's ways are higher than Rocky Top. Amen to that, right? And there, one of my friends that's a mechanical engineer, he's a fellow at a big chemical company. He was so successful because he would see a problem and he would invite some people into it. And then he would get back with the Lord and he'd say, what do I need to know about this problem that nobody else can see? Wow, is that legal with Jesus? Wow, can we do that? Or like teachers, man, I hope you've had an amazing summer. And I know Monday is coming really quick. I'm sorry. It's coming quick. And I know, and I'm so grateful for the ways you teach our next generation. But I'm telling you, this year, what if you considered, man, God, how would you teach this third grade class? Or God, I saw on the list, I got that kid that none of the teachers wanted. It's true. It's real. So God, instead of just seeing him like that or seeing her like that and just living into that, how would you want me to see this child differently? And how can I better engage with that child? Is that legal for followers of Jesus? I think so. We have tons of scriptures that would point to God doesn't just care about the way we worship in our songs, but he actually cares about how we worship in our work. He gave Noah plans to build an ark. He gave Moses, how do you build a tabernacle? He showed Daniel, how do you deliver entire people from a famine? He's very strategic, and that means he's also strategic in whatever vocation you find yourself in. And so what about this week or this next couple of weeks you begin to ask the Lord, God, you said, come to me, and I'm leaning my ear to you. What do you have to think? What do you think about this? What's a creative thought at my work? I'm telling you, he's not holding back. He wants to give it to him, but he says, come to me. Come to me. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher, and he wants us to live into both. Right? And so let me finish out the passage here. Verse 10, it says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and I shall succeed, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Wow. Doesn't that get anybody excited? Like, wow, can I really trust God's word? Can I really trust when I sense his voice speaking to me? It says right here, yeah. It says, it will not return to him empty when it goes from his mouth. It will accomplish all that he purposed it to do, whether it's through you or through somebody else. Let me just say that out loud. Huh. Whether it's through you or somebody else, it will not return void to God. So he says, because of that, you should go out in joy and be led forth in peace. I just feel like that's a word for the day. When you hear the voice of God, when you come to him, when you turn your ear to him, when you hear his voice, what happens is that we will then go out in joy. Even in the valley, we can still have joy, like we just sang about. When when I hear God's voice, when I know his word, it sends me out in joy and I'm led forth in peace. It's happened so many times in my life as I've learned to lean into the voice of God, as I've learned to ask him questions as a man, as a leader of a community, as a husband, a father. And there's things that happen. There's things that happen in life. There's brokenness happens. And in those moments that, man, anxiety and the weight, I've got to do something, it's all on me, it's, or I'm not enough, all these things, I've learned whenever I have that fear rise up, whenever I have that, man, I don't think I can do this, those are the moments that I've learned and disciplined myself. Okay, that's the moment that you need to ask God, God, what do I need to know in this moment? What's your perspective? If you want to go deeper, it's like, Lord, what is the lie that I'm believing that has me believing this thing about this situation? It's a muscle that we grow. I want to hear the voice of God. It says here that he leads us out in joy and peace, and so I need to hear the voice of God. And so I want these rhythms where I'm coming before the Lord with honesty, my thoughts, my ways, forsaking what's not of God and saying, God, what do you want me to know? What's your way? What's your thoughts? He says, the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress, instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I love that it ends with this gospel presentation, the instead. What you thought was going to be your end, instead of that, it's actually a new beginning. What you thought was going to bring death, actually, instead of death, it's actually going to offer resurrection life. So today, we're going to end with one last song, and it's going to really play, I think, nicely between the last song we sang, Christ and Christ Crucified. And we're going to go out of here in joy and peace because we're celebrating that Christ didn't just die on the cross, but he was resurrected on the third day, right? What Satan meant for death eternal, Christ turned to life eternal. Be instead. And so I'm gonna ask you to stand. I'm just gonna pray a blessing over you. And then we're gonna sing this last song together. And so just right now as we're standing, man, we've sang this morning, we've prayed, and now let's just ask the Lord, is there anything that he wants to highlight to you out of Isaiah 55? Did anything just like resonate with you? Was anything like, wow, I needed to hear that? Or actually, Derek didn't say it, but the Lord was speaking to me. Man, always tune into that voice 100%, right? So just take a moment, Holy Spirit, would you just sear in the truth that we need to take with us today? Would you allow everything to fade that was not for individuals, let it fade away, but would you really highlight and bring to the surface the truth that'll set them free? But I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your persistence. I thank you for your invitation to come to you, to listen and to find life in every area of our lives. But as a community, we just say we want to be a people that are attentive and are listening for your voice, are recognizing you, and not just the big church moments, but in the mundane moments of life, in the hard times of life, in the great times of life, may we be aware of your presence. May we not just be hearers of your voice, your word, may we be doers. May we be a people that grab hold and trust you and come into agreement that we would find life. We bless you. Amen.